Baruchim Aboyim, welcome to part 6, which will be the final part of the Ezus Hashem on our series on the Middle of Ka'ah. And we will see the Ezus Hashem tonight. Much of what we will discuss is in fact a recap, a chazor of some of the yesodos that we have looked at until this point. So to a certain extent tonight Vav will be a partial chazorah, perhaps a synopsis of the 5 previous Vavim that we have had until this point. Chazal teach us in 3 places that Moshe Rabbeinu bo bichlal ka'ah, bo bichlal tos. Now, you may well remember in our previous Vav we discussed the difference between halacha of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and we made a disclaimer there that if we are talking about people of the stature of Hillel and Shammai, we have to be extremely careful what we say and what we don't say, and we have to be loyal to Divrei Chazal HaKadoshim. Kol Shekein, if we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, about whom we have no hasotah whatsoever, then we have to be absolutely clear and careful to adhere to what it says in Divrei Chazal. But Chazal do tell us about Moshe Rabbeinu, no less, that on 3 occasions, bo lichlal ka'ah. Bo lichlal ka'ah. Lichlal ka'ah would have to be translated as not that he became angry, but he became on the verge or on the brink or slightly lichlal ka'ah. On the edge, on the fringe of ka'ah. And because of that, bo lichlal tos, a mistake was made. Where was this? So you find it, for example, in Parshas Matzah, when Klal Yisrael returned, surprisingly, having captured all the Noshim of Midian, which Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says, Vayikseif, got very angry with them. How can it be you brought back the very people who were caused of the problem in the first place? They were the ones who brought the Znus into Klal Yisrael and the ensuing Magefa, and you bring them back? Why did you not kill them as well? Vayikseif, and he became angry. The next thing you know is that the follow-up parasha to the Mochemes Midyan, which are the halachas of Hagolas Kalim, they were not taught to Klal Yisrael by Moshe Rabbeinu. They were actually taught by Elazar HaKoyen. And Chazal points out that the reason why this was so is because even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had taught these halachas to Moshe Rabbeinu, but they had been forgotten. And why did he forget them? Why did he forget? He forgot because he was Bor Lichlal Ka'at. Once he became angry with Klal Yisrael for bringing back the Bnei Midyan, therefore Nif'alma Halacha Moshe. This halacha became temporarily forgotten to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why he could not teach these halachas to Klal Yisrael, and instead it had to be relayed to Klal Yisrael by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Elazar HaKoyen. I believe there's somebody on the phone who's not yet on mute. They are now. On a second occasion where we find the same principle was in Parashat Shmini. In Parashat Shmini, Moshe Rabbeinu becomes angry with his brother Aaron HaKohen. A whole complicated parasha, but the bottom line of which Aaron HaKohen did not eat the korban. There was a korban that was sacrificed. Aaron HaKohen was in a state of aminus, having just lost his 2 sons, and he did not eat the korban because he maintained that whilst in a state of aminus, it is offered to eat the korban. Moshe Rabbeinu became angry with him and said, Madua lo yochalta. Why indeed did you not eat this korban, this chatos? It turns out that there was kaas and there was a halacha that was forgotten. Aaron HaKohen explained to him, and Moshe Rabbeinu eventually admitted, yes, you're right, I forgot this halacha, that not under all circumstances may an oinim eat the korban. We're not going to get involved in the whole sugya, but the bottom line is, again, this second time we have now found the principle, because he became angry by Yiksef, he angered with Elozo and he somewhat b'nei Aaron, but the halacha was forgotten temporarily by Moshe Rabbeinu. And on the third place we find it is in Parashat Chukas, after the chet of the main Meriva, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Shimu no hamoirim, listen you rebellious ones, that was also considered to be an anger of an act of kaas, and because of that a halacha was forgotten from him. So on three separate occasions Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu was bor lichlal kaas, and because of that bor lichlal tos. And the Gemara explains that this is what happens when somebody is a chochem, chochmo mistaleket mimenu. Even if he is a wise person, but that wisdom will be removed from him, albeit on a temporary basis, as a result of being bo'o lechlau ka'a. The Gemara says so too. If he's a novi, then his nevuah will be taken from him once again, albeit on a temporary basis. The chiddush that we are learning over here is that somebody who becomes angry, it doesn't say that he will not have the capacity to further amass chokhmah or to further prophesy. Rather, it says the chokhmah that he has already amassed will be taken away from him. Moshe Rabbeinu, it didn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't then teach him further halachas. Rather, these were halachas that had already been taught to him. And nonetheless, he was unable, as it were, to tap into them as a result of the bo lichlal kaas. Now, as mentioned, we were medayik, he does not say that he got angry. It says bo lichlal kaas. On all three occasions, certainly we would say that the anger was justified. And nonetheless, Chazal HaKadoshim, in a way that only they could comment, they saw some minimal shemet of anger. This was borderline fringe kaas, as a result of which the chokhmah was taken away. So on a superficial level we understand that it's some sort of punishment. That if you become angry, the oinash for becoming angry is that the chokhmah or the nevuah gets taken away. So the Maharal explained Kedarka Bakodesh in great depth, that this is not to be understood on a superficial level. When somebody becomes angry, the fact that he's unable to tap into chokhmah that he already has acquired is not a matter of punishment, but rather it is a mitzvah. And the way the Maharal explains is as follows. A person is made up of what the Baal HaMachshava call Nefesh HaBahamim. There is the animalistic sense to every human being. There is also the Nefesh HaSichli, or the Loshon Seichel, which could be paraphrased as the Chelek HaGashmi and the Chelek HaRuchmi. A person is made up of these different forces within him. The chelek, the nefesh habaamit, his animalistic tendencies and instincts, and the nefesh hasichli, where the seichel governs, and that directs him to dvorim ruchniyim. When a person is bo lichlal kaas, and he veers towards his animalistic tendencies, and he allows those to take over, then by definition, he is now, as it were, broadcasting on a different wavelength. He is no longer in tune with that nefesh ha-tichlis. So the fact that he cannot recall chokhmah, which is of course based on his seichel, is not a matter of punishment, but rather he's on a different wavelength now. He is allowing his nefesh ha-bahamis to completely overwhelm him and take over his entire existence. That's the way the Maharal says. He cannot therefore tap into either his chokhmah or his nevuah, as the Gemara says. That's not a coincidence. Rather, both of those things, both chokhmah and nevuah, obviously are koichot ruchniyot. A person who becomes angry has allowed his guf, his nefesh habahamid, to completely overwhelm him and take him over. For that reason, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was unable, not on a long-term basis, but at least for a short term, was unable to tap in, to recall that chokhmah. Because to recall chokhmah necessarily means that you're operating on a nefesh sichlis basis. But you have to make that decision. Either you are operating on a nefesh bahamis, animalistic, physical drive operation, or you are working on a ruchni sichlis sense. Somebody who's bolich lalkar is on a different plane completely. And because of that, he's unable, therefore, to connect to his chilek sichli. Mela, even those items of chokhmah that he has already acquired in the past, he is unable to connect to them, not as a punishment, but rather as a reality. And this, really, I think, encapsulates the main yesoid, which is the yesoid ha-yesoidos of the middle of Kaf. And as mentioned in the beginning, that's why what we're discussing tonight is to an extent a chazorah. Because we've mentioned in the past that Chazal tell us, as the Gemara in the Dorim, that somebody who gets angry, kol mine gehenem shoyltim boy. The worst types of Gehenna can get the better of him. And while this can be explained on so many levels, that the simplest way to understand it is that once a person is in a situation of kaas, then everything, there is no level, there is no limit to what he's potentially able to be over. Why? Because he's no longer in control of his seichel. If you'll remember, we also mentioned the Maimon Chazal that compared somebody who becomes angry to somebody who also becomes drunk. Just as somebody who becomes shikha also cannot recall his chokhmah, not as a punishment. It is not a penalty for having drunk a cup of wine. The penalty is that you cannot remember your chokhmah. It's not an einish, it's reality. You're not in control of your seichel, you're operating on a completely different level. And that's what it means. Kol mine gehenem shoyltim boy. All types of gehenem, there is no limit. What ultimately keeps us in check is the koyach ha-seichel. This is the yesoid we've mentioned a number of times. A person essentially is born with midos ra'ot, which he has to keep in check. He has to work on those middos, but as long as those middos are not worked on, it's the koyach ha-seichel that keeps him in check. But if he's not operating with the koyach ha-seichel, then there is nothing that controls him. And therefore, the sky is the limit, or rock bottom is the limit. All types of gehenem can be shaded on him. He is not in control of his seichel. And when a person is not in control of their seichel, then there are no boundaries, there are no limits to what this person can potentially be over. The Maral in yet another very revealing piece says, this is the way you have to understand the following Gemara. The Gemara indeed says, do not get angry, do not get drunk. Both Ka'ah and Shichrus are both mentioned in the same sentence for reasons that we just mentioned. What's so fascinating is that the Gemara continues with a third item on this list. And this item, we would have thought, is completely unrelated. The Gemara then continues and says, Keshata yoytze lederech. If a person ever goes on a journey, he needs to travel. Very important that you say Tfilat Haderech. This is the Gemara in Brachas Chavtes on the base, the halacha that we know, Tfilat Haderech, this is the source. Now, the first two items on that list, the connection is very understandable. Do not become shikah, do not become angry. The Gemara says the result of both is that a person will sin, as we've just explained, because he's not in control. He's lost his seichel. He's not operating on the plane of seichel. But what on earth has the halacha of Tfilat Haderech got to do with Ka'ah or Shichrus? When a person is traveling, he is neither angry or drunk. So why is that mentioned in this list? Says the Maral, a phenomenal explanation, Kedarkei B'Kodesh. Because when a person is at home, then things are calm. There is seder. There is menucha. He knows what exists, he knows the boundaries, he knows his home, he knows what he has, he knows what he hasn't. There is menucha, there is seder. Once you leave the home, and you're traveling, and you're now at the whim of bandits, wild animals, there is a lack of seder. You have no idea what's lurking around the corner. There is, by definition, therefore, a lack of menucha. And when there is a lack of menucha, when there's a lack of seder, then that's when hate sets in. That, says the Maral, is the tzad hashoveh between these three. You might recall that we mentioned on a previous occasion the mashal that the Balei Musa gives. A person, as we just mentioned, has midot ra'ot, which, despite the fact that we have to be oivid on those midot, but they're not eliminated. But the mashal given was, imagine if you have a bottle of wine, and at the bottom there's a layer of shmorim, sediment. Is that wine now rendered undrinkable? And the answer is, no, it isn't. If the bottle remains upright, in a state of calm, the sediment remains at the bottom. And you can quite happily pour, delicately, the wine out of the spout of the bottle. But if the wine is not b'menucha, imagine that bottle of wine falls to the floor and is shaken up and down, then all of that sediment will no longer be sitting at the base, benign, quietly at the bottom. Rather, everywhere you look, there is shmorim, there is sediment, and indeed, the wine is now rendered undrinkable. So the Balei Musa says this is a tremendous yesod, that even if a person has not yet succeeded in eliminating his midot ra'ot, but they can be kept in check by remaining in a state of menucha, by remaining in a state of seder. Those midot ra'ot, as it were, remain therefore at the bottom of the bottle, untampered with. But when a person loses himself, when a person is in a state of worry, when a person is in a state of concern, of pressure, for example, then that's his bottle being shaken up and down. When he leaves his home, he's no longer within the safe confines of his own home. He has no idea what might meet him round the corner. Says the Maral, there's a lack of menucha. There's a lack of seder. And that's why that can bring him to the same place that Ka'a and Shichrus can bring him. That is the remarkable explanation of the Maharal. That's why all three are mentioned on this list. Both anger, drunkenness, is really similar to leaving the home and not being in a state of menucha. When not being in a state of menucha, that's when our midos rois get set up, and that's when the bottle gets turned upside down, and all those midos which have not yet been worked on and finessed all suddenly come to the fore, and it's not a pretty sight. And therefore, as I mentioned, this is very much a synopsis. This is a chazara of the Yesodis that was spoken about until now. The avoida, the necessary avoida to deal with the middle of Kaas, as we've said a number of times, is not at the time that this happens. When a person is insulted or upset, that's not the time now to start activating avoida tamidis. The work has to be done beforehand, because if not, it's too late. Like somebody asked from Chaim Brisker, tell me, he says, when does Chinuch HaYelodim, when does that begin? What age do the children have to be? When must you start the Avodah of Chinuch? And Chaim Brisker said, 20 years before the children are born. It's all too late if after they're born, now you start working out what is the vision that I'd like to pass on to them. So too with Avodah Tamidos, and that's why we really try and meet once a week to think about these ideas. The Avodah of remaining in a state of Menucha, Seder, when a person feels precious, when a person feels concerned, when a person feels upset, he needs to know that he's veering into the direction of Nefesh HaBahamim. And if he does not allow himself to operate on the plane of Seichel, then indeed, Chochmah will be lost. Nevuah will be lost. And if we don't have our Chochmah, then the bottle has been tipped up. Because the Chochmah ultimately is what keeps us in check. It's true. There are occasions when one must become angry. It's a mitzvah to become angry. But this is also a yisoid that was mentioned in the past. The Mesilas Yesharim's phrase about ka'as haponim and ka'as halev. A person is angry deep in his heart, and that's a very dangerous time to express anger because he's not in control. But there may well be a time that a Rebbe towards his Talmidim, a parent towards his child, and for that matter, it could be a friend towards a chavrusa, or a peer, when anger might be indeed the right mode. It might well be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to get angry, but then we have to stop, and we have to check, is this ka'as upon him? It's just external ka'as, or is it internal, deep-rooted ka'as? And you'll remember, we mentioned an eighth of Toiva. Definitely it's true, easier to say than to activate, but if we think about it, it might be possible to stop before we react. If we're determined to react, to get that last word, to make sure that I give him peace of my mind, maybe you can do so, but just perhaps count to 10 before you do so. As my father used to say, it's very important that maybe count to 100, because by the time you get to 100, you might well realize that actually it wasn't so important after all. How much agmat nefesh we can save ourselves, how much pain we can save ourselves, it takes 5 seconds. But once we've hit the button on send an email, once we've said that sharp comment, you can't take it back. It's too late. The damage has been done. And after that, it might take weeks or years to try and repair the damage. Only this week, I sat with somebody who had a tremendous fallout with a family member. Over nothing. over absolutely nothing. A little mistake was made. Yes, it was a mistake for which the other family member would have come to apologize. But the one whom the mistake was made against reacted in such a scene that he embarrassed his wife, he embarrassed his parents-in-law. For weeks now, this person has not spoken to his in-laws, doesn't allow his wife to go and eat there. The whole family is being ripped apart for nothing. Because for 5 seconds, he couldn't stop to think to himself, what's going to be the fallout if I indeed give a piece of my mind? And now he is shown by it, his parents-in-law, his children are all suffering, trying to deal with the fallout. Much, much more difficult to deal with it afterwards than not to have got involved in the problem in the first place. And maybe that's just finish with a wonderful moshel of Reb Chaim Brisker. The king needed to hire a royal chariot driver. Who's going to be the royal wagon driver? You can imagine, it was advertised up and down the kingdom, there was a mad race. Who's going to be Zeicha to be the king's royal chariot wagon driver? Many, many hundreds of candidates, and eventually it was narrowed down to the top three in the country. They come to the palace for an interview with the Melech. And the Melech says to the first one, he says, tell me, I understand you want to be my royal driver. Yes, I do. He says, tell me, what would be if one day, there you are, I'm in the chariot, the royal chariot, you're riding the horses and we get stuck in a huge mud ditch at the side of the road. What would you do? How would you get us out? Oh, he says, your royal majesty, don't you worry about that. I had experience. 2 minutes, I would get you out. I have a whole technique. I would unhitch the back wheels. I would remove one of the horses. 2 minutes, would be out. Oh, very impressive. He speaks to the second one. He says, tell me, what would you do if we got stuck in a big mud ditch at the side of the road? He says, 2 minutes? For me, it would take 1 minute. I have experience in this. I would never unhitch the back wheels. To the contrary, unhitch the front wheels. Don't release the horses. A whip of the horse, 1 minute, I would have you out. Extremely impressive. He says to the third one, tell me, what would you do if you got stuck in a mud ditch at the side of the road? And he says, your majesty, I have no idea. No idea how to get out. What do you mean? He says, what can I tell you? I don't know. I have no experience. I've got no technique in it. I've got no idea. Well, why would you want to be the royal chariot driver? So he says, your royal highness, because I have no idea how to get out of this mess, I would be extra careful not to get stuck in the mud ditch in the first place. Oh, you're the one who could be appointed then. I'm not looking for drivers with lots of experience being stuck in a mud ditch. I'd rather the one who makes a supreme effort not to get stuck there in the first place. The phenomenal moshel that I heard in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker, and as everyone can imagine, it can be used and taken to many places. But I think for what we're discussing tonight, it couldn't be more appropriate. To have to deal with the fallout of Kaa is a very, very difficult proposition, and I know I'm talking to people who have all got more experience in life than me, and I'm sure you all know much better than me. Plenty of families and relationships that have been ripped apart over literally nothing. But somebody had to give a piece of their mind, and in 30 seconds, a family was pulled apart. A relationship, a husband and wife, two friends, business, or whatever it may be, all because they couldn't exercise this menucha. They were not operating on their nefesh ha-sichli, but rather they immediately veered into nefesh bahamis mode, just as an animal would react. Woe betide if you take an animal's food, he will on the spot gore and bite and do everything he can to get his food back. If that's the plane that we operate on, then try getting out of that mud ditch. It will take longer than 1 minute, it will take longer than 2 minutes as well. far better is not to get stuck in the first place. And therefore, as I think we've fought finished each of our previous series, really the final line in every middah that we've worked on, whether we spoke about Hakaras HaTov or Chesed, every middah that we try and work on together, the final line has to be that ultimately we try. And for this reason we get together once a week to listen to Dibrei Chazal HaKadoshim, and the way that Rabbi Seinu and Mefarshim have explained the approach to working on our middos. But ultimately, we need Siyata D'Shmaya. And Siyata D'Shmaya comes about through Tefillah. If a person feels that he has a tendency, he has a weakness in this particular middah of Kaas, and he really is determined to work on it, to eventually root it out, then yes, there is no replacement for the Koyach of Tefillah. We dive into our Kodesh Baruch and we say that we have done our part. We have tried to be mevarer for ourselves what it is that Chazal have taught us about this middah, how they have advised us to work upon it. But ultimately, as the Gemara tells us, ilmolei, if not for the fact that our Kodesh Baruch Hu offers you Siyata D'Shmaya, there is actually no way that we can overcome the Yetzer Hara. Does that mean we are all fighting a lost battle? No, it doesn't, because we have the koyach of tefillah. So the Be'ezras Hashem, in the zechut of our tefillahs, in the zechut of our effort to try and work on these middos, may it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers us with Siyata D'Shmaya. We should be zeicha to the menucha, to the seder that's required eventually Be'ezras Hashem to overcome this terrible middah of ka'as, and we should be zeicha to all the brachas, the bracha of Birkas Kohanim, the bracha of Shemoneh Esra, which all finish with one word, the bracha of Sholeh. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meitzik Kli Bracha. What is the Kli that's Machzik Bracha? It's the bracha of Sholeh, which is the opposite of Ka'at and Machlekes, Amen, Techei, Yiratzeh.